And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
This is a gross exaggeration and a fabrication.
Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Ben Selvin, Bix, Peter DeRose, and Irving Kale, and get sloppy drunk.
What?
Well, musically, not literally. Maybe. Last week, March 5th, marked the birth in 1898 in New York City of violinist and bandleader and one of my favorites, Ben Selvin. The family had emigrated from Russia, and Ben's father, Max, was a tailor. A musical prodigy, Ben started playing the violin at age 7 and made his first public appearance at the Star Casino at age 9. In 1913, he made his first appearance on Broadway, and at just 19, he formed his own orchestra, which played at the Moulin Rouge for a record 7 years. He probably made more records than any other bandleader of the 78 era, but his best-selling record was Dardanella, waxed by Selvin's novelty orchestra for Victor on November 20, 1919. He recorded exclusively for Vocalion from 1921 to 1924 when he began recording for Columbia, Paramount, Plaza, and Brunswick. He began working in radio by 1924, and although complaining about the medium's tonal balance, in 1925 he was broadcasting over WFBH and doing his own announcing, and in 1927 was program director of the Columbia Phonograph Hour, heard every Wednesday evening. In the late 30s, he was chief programmer for Muzak and later worked for RCA, retiring at age 65. He died July 15, 1980. Here's Ben Selvin. Thank you.
pretty eyes. Oh, can I help it if I like pretty eyes? And can I help it if you've got lips just the kind for those moonlight trips? Can I help it if they just thrill me through? Oh, can I help it if you've got dimple knees? And can I help it if I like dimple knees? You've got everything I look for. You've got everything and some more. Say, can I help it if I'm in love with you?
We have three by Ben Selvin, but not a one credited to him. We started off with the Knickerbockers on October 15th, 1925, and You Told Me to Go. written by Ed Sedgwick Jr., Abe Lyman, and Henry R. Cohen. That was Ben Selvin himself playing violin on that Columbia recording. Next, it was Sam Nash and his orchestra with Can I Help It from June 6, 1930. The vocalist on that, American Parlophone 78, was Scrappy Lambert. That recording was also issued in the U.S. on the Odeon label as by Ray Seeley and his orchestra, and in Britain on the Parlophone label as by Will Perry's orchestra. We finished up on the Harmony label with the Harmony Dance Orchestra, yet another Selvin pseudonym, and another musical question, how many times? That was Irving Kaufman on June 18, 1926. How Many Times was written by Irving Berlin. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Today, March 10th, marks the birth exactly 110 years ago in 1903 in Davenport, Iowa, of Leon Bick Spiderbeck. His father operated a fuel and lumber company, and his mother was a pianist, so he had piano lessons. But after hearing recordings of the original Dixieland jazz band, he turned his attention to the cornet, which he taught himself to play by playing along with the records. In 1919, he bought his first cornet and played in school events and with local groups. His family disapproved of his interest in jazz, and that, along with his less-than-stellar performance in school, resulted in his parents enrolling him in Lake Forest Academy outside of Chicago in 1921. But after-hours trips to Chicago to play and hear jazz and poor grades resulted in his expulsion in May of 1922. After several months working for his father in Davenport, he left and turned to a career in music. He played and recorded with the Wolverines and the Gene Goldkett Band in 1924, and in 1925 recorded for Jeanette and played with Charlie Strait, the Breeze Blowers, and Frank Trumbauer's orchestra. In May of 1926, Bix and Tram joined the Gene Goldkett Band in New York until it disbanded in September of 1927. On October 27th, they joined Paul Whiteman's band, playing engagements across the country and recording with the full band and with various groups under their own names. Years of excessive alcohol consumption led to deteriorating health, and Bix left Whiteman in September of 1929. His hopes of rejoining the group after recuperation didn't materialize, and he worked playing piano with Benny Goodman, the Dorsey Brothers, and Jack Teagarden. He died on August 6, 1931, at 9:30 p.m. Here's Bix Spiderbeck.
Alone, 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 the lane is faint. kiss, a beg or borrow from memory. Remember the sunset, Chiquita, the day that we first met, Chiquita. The rose within your hair, I sell its fragrance everywhere. Oh, come back, Chiquita, to me. Thank you.
Well, I didn't plan it that way, but there you had three records featuring Bix, each with a kind of Spanish flair to it. We begin with Gene Goldkett and his orchestra in Elaine in Spain from February 3rd, 1927. You may have recognized the vocal group there as the Revelers, Charles Harrison and Louis James, first and second tenors, baritone Elliot Shaw, and bass and founder of the group, Wilfred Glenn, who we heard in a solo last week. Elaine in Spain was written by Al Lewis and Carmen Lombardo. Next, it was Paul Whiteman and his orchestra with vocal by Jack Fulton on Chiquita, not Chiquita, as Jack Fulton sings. Chiquita was written by L. Wolfe Gilbert and Mabel Wayne and was recorded June 10, 1928. We finished up with Paul Whiteman once again, January 5, 1928, and Oh Yeah Yeah, composed by Alexandra DeMarkoff. This was an instrumental, but there are words which were written by Raymond Clagas.
Have a particular song or artist you'd like to hear on Rapidly Rotating Records? Well, you can send your requests and your comments about the show by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or send cards or letters to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711.
Today, March 10th, also marks the birth, but in 1900 in New York City, of Peter DeRose. He was first taught music by his sister, and after graduating from DeWitt Clinton High School, he went to work at music publisher G. Ricordi & Company at 12 West 45th Street in New York. He became a performer on radio and appeared with his wife, Mary Singy Breen, on the NBC show Sweethearts of the Air, which was broadcast for over 15 years. DeRose was a prolific composer, contributing songs to Broadway musicals including Earl Carroll's Vanities of 1928 and Ziegfeld Follies of 1934, and film scores including Song of Love and The Fighting Seabees. He collaborated with lyricists including Charlie Tobias, Mitchell Parrish, Benny Davis, Sam Lewis, and Stanley Adams. He died in New York City on April 23, 1953. Highlights from the DeRose catalog include Muddy Water, Rain, Have You Ever Been Lonely, When I'm Walking With My Sweetness, When Your Hair Has Turned to Silver, and these.
Thank you. A new kind of daydream comes creeping around you. Dixie Dawn on a summer morn, all the Southland is peaceful and happy. It's heaven to me. Love to see those childhood scenes, hills of green, just one lonely tree. Travel on weary feet back to memory. Dixie Dawn, all my worries gone, 'cause I'm homebound, where the nighttime meets the morning, Dixie Dawn.
Dorsey Brothers and their orchestra, May 22, 1928, and Dixie Dawn, written by Joe Trent and Peter DeRose. The vocalist was Bill Dutton. Dixie Dawn was preceded by Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra, who were Memphis-bound on April 18, 1925. Memphis-bound was co-written by Peter DeRose and Frank Banta, a name which will be familiar to regular listeners, but more for his piano playing than his composing skills. And we began our tribute to Peter DeRose with Ben Burney and his Hotel Roosevelt Orchestra and Carefree. The vocal duo on that November 10, 1927 recording was Scrappy Lambert and Billy Hillpot. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL, Avalon, in New Zealand on the Wellsford Country Radio Network, 105.8 FM, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, and on iTunes as a podcast. Last week, March 5th, marked the birth in 1903 in Houtsdale, Pennsylvania, of lyricist Irving Kahle, K-A-H-A-L. In the mid-20s, he was appearing in New York vaudeville sketches written by Gus Edwards when he met composer Sammy Fain, and the two formed one of the most prolific collaborations ever in Tin Pan Alley, and which lasted until Kahle's death in 1942. Their first song together, along with Francis Wheeler, was Let a Smile Be Your Umbrella in 1927, which was recorded by Roger Wolfe Kahn and Sam Lannon. In 1930, they were signed by Paramount Pictures to write a song for the Maurice Chevalier picture The Big Pond. They traveled to Los Angeles and wrote You Brought a New Kind of Love to Me and wound up staying in L.A., where they worked for several movie studios, but also wrote for Broadway. Irving Kahle died in New York on February 7, 1942, and was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1970. Irving Kahle's best-known songs include Wedding Bells Are Breaking Up That Old Gang of Mine, Let a Smile Be Your Umbrella, I'll Be Seeing You, and these. Thank you.
and all the bees to sing their pretty melodies. What a wonderful wedding that will be. And as we go strolling side by side, they'll harmonize, here comes the bride. What a wonderful wedding that will be. The man up in the moon will be the preacher. He'll tie the knot for you and me. Now we'll never miss those shady palms. You'll honeymoon right in my arms. What a wonderful wedding that will be.
Rubbing elbows at the wrist with those millions.
can take the lights away from Broadway, but the stars above remain. 'Cause you can't take away the things that were made for love. Ooh, made for love. Radio may give us pretty music, but the birds sing just the same. 'Cause you can't take away the things that were made for love. I know that butterflies and babbling brooks, the flowers and trees, we'll live on in this world when we're just memories. Till the end of time you find those lovers, meet the moon in Lover's Lane. 'Cause you can't take away the things that were made for love.
Paul Specht and his orchestra, April 5th, 1929, with The Things That Were Made for Love. The lead vocal in the trio singing the Charlie Tobias and Irving Kale lyric is shown in the Columbia files as Johnny Morris, but apparently it may actually be someone else. Johnny Morris played drums and vibraphone in the band. I could also have played that record in Last Sigmund's tribute to Peter DeRose, since he wrote the music. Before Paul Specht, it was the Boswell Sisters with the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, March 19, 1931, with When I Take My Sugar to Tea, a Cale, Sammy Fain, Pierre Norman collaboration. And we began our tribute to Irving Cale with Irving Kaufman, who is a little easier to orally identify, and What a Wonderful Wedding That Will Be. That was Lou Gold and his orchestra on December 16, 1927. The arranger was Ray Heindorf, who shortly after this recording went to Hollywood, where after starting out with MGM, he arranged and conducted music for Warner Brothers films for nearly 40 years and was nominated for 18 Academy Awards and won 3 Oscars.
Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s. This is Rapidly Rotating Records. Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon and available anytime on demand online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
Now, my wife and I enjoy a glass or two of nice wine with dinner most nights, although pizza, chili, and Mexican food call for craft beer, and I'll even have a shot of Jameson once in a while. I try to practice moderation, and I respect those who choose not to drink alcohol, but with apologies to them, for this final set, we're just going to get sloppy drunk.
What?
Here are the Allen Brothers.
What's wrong with you? That's just as loud as it can be. You know, I can't stand it much longer. What in the world's wrong with you now? reckon you've lost your bottle. Must be your wife. You know, this has been going on for weeks and weeks, and I know good and well everybody's getting tired of it. It's lousy. I know you lost your bottle now. I know your wife couldn't make you cry and cut up that way. I think I'll just kill you right here on the spot. Now cut that foolishness out, Jerry, and let's get busy.
Whiskey, whiskey. not be drunk than anything else I know. I'd rather be sloppy drunk than everything else I know. Oh, listen here, brother, another half a pint will see me go. Then a woman loves her man. I love my moonshine whiskey better than a woman loves her man. You can take your Sloan Lenneman bug you, but give me old Kin Can.
We started off that inebriated set with the Allen Brothers, Lee, who was doing all the whining, laughing, and crying, and his unsympathetic brother, Austin. I love the comment, "It's biology," and the line, "I think I'll just kill you right here on the spot," on Drunk and Nutty Blues. The Allen Brothers were also known as the Chattanooga Boys. Lee played guitar and Austin played banjo on that Vocalion recording made in New York on October 8, 1934, but which they chose not to issue. Next, it was Margaret Johnson with Dead Drunk Blues, written by George W. Thomas and recorded by OK on June 9, 1925. Margaret Johnson was active on the vaudeville circuit from the early 20s to the early 30s, and her recording career spanned 1923 to 1927, accompanied by the likes of Clarence Williams, Louis Armstrong, and Sidney Bechet. Dead Drunk Blues was also recorded by female blues singers Lillian Miller and Lucille Bogan, who also recorded under the pseudonym Bessie Jackson. We finished up with the Washboard Rhythm Kings and Sloppy Drunk Blues from November 23, 1932. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm going to go sober up now, but I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention. Thank you.